Welcome to the Traffic Hackers Podcast, the crossroads of lead generation expertise and business growth savvy. Here we explore the expansive landscape of demand generation, guided by your hosts, Brent Stone and Glenn Martin. So get your laptop out and your cell phone ready. It's time to enter the world of the Traffic Hackers.
Hey, welcome back to the Traffic Hackers. We are Brent and Glenn, and we are going to have some fun today. This is part two in a very important lead generation discussion around basically just delivering real value and having a good reputation. And it's one of the fastest ways you can like kill your business if you don't practice these things. We just to catch you up on the episode, if you didn't listen to the last episode, well, first off, I'm sorry, Glenn, how are you doing today? I'm just so excited. I'm going to get right into this.
Hey, what's up, guys? I am doing awesome. Great to be back and super excited to continue this conversation about real value. We're going to have a lot of fun today.
It's going to be fun. Because if we're really going to deliver value on our own, and we got to give you some tangible ways that you can actually like look at this in your business and think about your business. Sometimes reflecting on content like this, you know, this episode, the last episode helps people with getting their business to the next level. And so, one of the things we talked about is like real value. So many people today are selling things based off of like fake value. And, you made a reference to, you know, selling something for $50,000 when it's really only valued, you know, like you're only delivering like maybe $3,000 worth of value versus, or you could sell something for $50,000 and deliver $100,000 worth of value. Obviously the second is where you want to be. 100%. And so that's where I think a lot of people miss the mark. Obviously you agree. You made the example, 100%.
But I mean, we have paid not quite $50,000, but we've paid for services just for ourselves that were thousands of dollars that I don't think were even hundreds of dollars worth of deliverability at the end of the day. And, you know, that was when we were obviously starting Funnel Force and looking at our, you know, overall company. And it was a really good lesson for us really soon in the beginning of our company. It's like, wow, you know what? There's some real terrible offers out here, and it takes a lot of vetting. And I mean, dude, I think that's why business owners are so frustrated sometimes when people don't take them serious. You know, you've got Brent over here and you're, you know, the most ethical person in the history of the world, and your value is actually real value. And then you've got, you know, Daryl and his value is just complete garbage. And Daryl is better at sales. And now you can't figure out why no one takes you seriously. And you know, Daryl's over here shystering people and you're just like, what is going on? That's why we're having this conversation, because you got to be able to stick that out. And your business reputation will stand the test of time, even if it takes you longer to get started.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, here's the thing. If you got a good reputation, then you can have long-term business. Most people, like post-COVID era, it's like, they see Instagram and hundreds of people being like, oh, you can start a business online, and you should. But before you do it, you really need to understand why you're doing it. If your number one goal is just to make money, you're not going to stay in business long. You have to find something that you believe in first. Like what are you doing that you can believe in and understand first? And then, yeah, you should need to have a goal of making a lot of money. Sure. Because if you make a lot of money and you reinvest into your company and it's scalable and you can deliver not only a service to a couple of people, you can deliver a service that impacts the world if you're successful. But that unfortunately we've run into people, they don't have that thought process. And so anyway, so today, here's what I want to talk about today is why businesses don't do this. So I'm just going to call it out right away. And before I do, Glenn, I don't know if you want to weigh in here on you know, your opinion on why businesses don't do this. I've got a couple of notes written down, but basically I have strong opinions on this, but I would love to get your feedback on this. Do you have any feedback on, you know, why you believe businesses don't do this?
I think they think it takes too much time. And the ultimate reason, I believe, is they're lazy and they care only about themselves. They're lazy and they're selfish. And that's my two overarching reasons. So dive into yours, because I could obviously unpack those a little bit more.
So, well, here's the thing. I think you're exactly right, especially post 2020. I mean, I don't know what happened, but it just seems like work ethic. Like we have a business, another business, like outside of what Glenn and I have. I say we, my wife and I, and trying to get people to show up to interviews for like real jobs. Like it's wild. And especially for the positions that we're offering when we know we're paying $2, $3, $4, $5 more an hour more in most cases than what other people in the same industry in our geographical area are paying. It is wild. Anyway, so yeah, that's just my side. So yes, I agree 110% with what you just said. Now, here's some of the notes that I wrote down here, and I'm going to go through this quickly so we can have some opposite thought process here on how to actually build value and reputation and whatnot. So why businesses don't want to put in the time to do this? Because money, it's adding overhead to their business. So when you automatically get shystered, the first thing you got to understand is that business owner wants to make a profit, and they should want to make a profit. That's okay that they want to make a profit, but they should also deliver value at least equal to plus, you know, some margin of 20-30% more than what you paid. So you actually get benefit from you investing your operating capital into that service. But the person selling you the stuff, they've got to make money. But if they're gouging you and they can't deliver on the value, that's where the problem is. That's the problem. So, and I'm not saying that you don't give them adequate time to fulfill that value, because maybe I've seen people that have a really good offer in a sense to where they'll charge a whole lot up front and they'll work with you until they basically deliver back like twice what you paid or something like that. Like I've seen guarantees like that. And you know what? If people hold to that I think that that's a good offer, because if they're not only wanting you to get the money that you invested out of it, but times two, then they've given you something. Now, if it's like 5 years down the road, that's not really a good offer because of inflation. And if they can't return that capital back to you sooner for you to redeploy that capital into something else, that's not good. But that's a whole nother discussion. So here's the other thing. Businesses, it takes away typically, unless they're like in software, which is a whole nother conversation, but it takes away from their ability to have high volume of output. So if people are selling like consultative services and they're charging, you know, $500 an hour, well, it's not like they have 30 hours in a day and 9 days in a week. So they have to be able to like deliver what they sell. If they've got to be on site, well, they can't be in two businesses at the exact same time. So there's limitations there. Now you sell software and you can keep increasing the value of your software with, you know, updates and live help and tech support and different things. Like there's different things you can do to increase value there. But I mean, if people are going and just buying your software, I mean, that's, you can sell a million subscriptions today. And then what you should do is you take that profit and reinvest it into things that are going to raise the value. So you elevate your customer experience and you have this upward cycle, because then they get happy and they go tell other people. And then you have 2 million people buy subscriptions the next month. And that's just, in my mind, that's just common sense. Do you have any feedback on that, Glenn? Do you have any feedback for people on, you know, what other reasons why business, or if you want to unpack the reasons why you gave initially?
Well, you know, I'm going to go with like online businesses, and I think where a lot of people get this whole value stack, this whole value ladder, it initially came, I believe, Russell Brunson really made it popular of like the value ladder. And the reason I say people are lazy and they're selfish is they didn't take time to understand why the value that he places on something was 10 times what he charged. And it was due to actually what he was going to deliver was actually worth 10 times what they were getting. And instead of them really taking each thing and saying, well, if you charge $97, how was that worth, you know, 970 or 9,700? What's the difference? You know, why would have you originally priced it at that? And studying it. See, this is the lazy aspect. People look at it and they're like, well, if you could charge that, oh, okay, cool. I want to sell coffee cup. Oh man. Yeah. $10. Sure. Value of that coffee mug over your lifetime, $10,000. Cool. I'm just going to put that on there just because. And so it creates this fake value ladder where people just don't take time to think and they don't take time to study their specific market and say, all right, so if I want to charge this price, what's actually in the market? What is, if I take market value and I do market research, what are actually people charging for this? And what can I, and doing their studying and putting the work in, and they show up and they know, like they know that they know that they know that what they're charging is way more value than what they're actually asking as a ticket price. See, that's a business owner that understands. And someone's like, well, how did you, I've got this question on sales calls. So how did you build the value into that? It's a really good question to ask.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's a great
question. People should ask that. People should ask that.
And I was like, man, this is actually when I was closing for somebody else. When I got that first question, I was like, kind of caught me off guard because I didn't know, because I was just being the closer. I didn't know why they put the value in. And I was like, well, here's why I believe. And I went down through it and I said, but I can ask and I can get you an answer of why they put this there. Cause they knew I wasn't the business owner. I was just the front end guy. And it's a great question to ask because they're asking, you know, if you're doing X, Y, and Z, how do you know if your time is worth $10,000 over the next 6 months? How did you figure that, by the way?
Right.
Well, I just feel like I'm that valuable. Well, sure. You know, but that's where these questions come in. And so the reason I mention this is I think that that's where people are a little bit lazy and a little bit selfish, is they take something that is kind of all over the internet now based on someone's actual real life experiences and what they actually built in. And they're just like, well, if he can do it, I'll just do the same thing.
Yeah.
No, you got to study your specific industry and actually have good answers. And it goes back to what we said in the last episode, put yourself in your prospect's shoes and ask yourself, if I am asking the question of where did I get this value, do I have a great answer? Am I stumbling over myself saying, well, I mean, I'm important, you know, that's why. No, where did you actually get this? And I know it's a little bit funny, but I think these are really, really big questions of why people don't do it and then why you should, and how you can separate yourself so much from a lot of other people in that industry. So that's my thoughts.
Yeah. Well, in closing, here's something else that it does too, which unfortunately a lot of the people in this online business space post 2020, they don't really think about this. What they're doing is that if they just falsely raise their value and they're selling a similar thing to people over here, what ends up happening is not everyone, but a lot of people start trying to keep up with the whole thing. It's a bad cycle. How do people fix it? And here's the thing that I'll say is, if people want to reverse engineer how much they're charging, how much value they're actually delivering to a small business based off of like their testers that they've done, like if they've got a beta group, you know, how much value have you been able to produce in your beta test for a potential client? And I think that would give people more of a realistic way on how they should price things. And then once they get to the point to where they can sell that really, really well, then they start to realize, oh, well, this is selling all the time. I'm struggling to even just fulfill this. I need to price it higher so less people buy. So they just raise it a little bit just to basically slow down the volume. So they raise the price a little bit, but then people keep on buying. Well, they're like, wow, okay, well, then the market's higher for this service. And they've got the testimonials to back it up. So now they can actually keep raising it and raising it. And then that's when you see a realistic cycle. Like if that person has the purchasing still happening as they continue to raise that price, they have something there. But when you start off and you're just like, hey, we think it's worth this, like you said, it's just, don't do that. So if you want to generate a lot of leads, initially, you got to give people something that's like an unbelievable value. And unfortunately, in the beginning, if you don't have testimonials and you don't have the beta group to base stuff off of, you're going to have to go and figure out like what's a realistic value. A lot of people get started offering stuff for free. Like I'm in a couple of different groups on Facebook for, you know, people in our industry, and there's people in there being like, hey, I'm just getting started. I'm going to basically help 10 people for free because I want your testimonials. Real upfront. Hey, I don't have any, reportable experience. I've got experience, but I don't have anyone that's willing to give me their testimony yet. I would like to serve you for free. and deliver a testimonial in return for a testimonial from you. And there's people hitting them back. Yep. I'll do that. You know, and these people know they got to invest their time to use this guy's service, but at least that transaction's happening and that's worth it to those people. I mean, you got to be at a certain place in business to just take anybody just off the street trying to get started, which it's a beautiful thing. Like if you're a new business owner, this is probably a whole another episode, but if you're a new business owner and you're trying to come in and grow, using somebody like that is probably great. I don't know if, you know, I don't know if any business that, you know, is up and running and like high capacity, if they're going to just give someone the chance. Hopefully they do, but that's something to consider. So the ecosystem, the entrepreneurial ecosystem is growing. If that makes sense, you know, you've got the people like in that scenario, they need other entrepreneurs that are also getting started that need those services. And so they can feed each other. And hopefully people can just get this ethical compass dialed into their brain. So it's not just like the compass is spinning around and I can just do whatever I want. And yeah, you can, or you'll go out of business, or you're going to have a terrible reputation and you're still going to go out of business anyway. So sorry about the rant, but we should probably wrap up this episode. Any closing thoughts?
I mean, it just all comes back to, are you employee minded or are you business owner minded? Business owners always think long term. And so they're super excited to slow down and figure these things out. Employees think today. It's like, yeah, man, if I can just show up and work 8 hours today and I do this for 40 hours, I get this much of a paycheck. Sweet. I don't really care what happens. I got a paycheck. And I mean, that's a different topic too, but that's why I think even small business owners, when they're just starting out, they struggle because they're like, I cut my job, this has to work. And then they don't even intend. I think a lot of people have great intentions, but what happens is they needed the money so bad that they then couldn't even provide the service because they need more money right away. And it creates it's a bad cycle to be in. And you gotta understand what you're doing when you start a business. This is no longer a job. You might get paid a lot today, but you might not get paid again for like 60 days. Can you do that? You know, and I'm painting some pictures here, but a lot of business owners that have initially started out can definitely relate to that, where it can be amazing today and not amazing in the next 3 weeks if you don't understand what you're trying to accomplish. So that's it. Appreciate you guys for hanging out with us. Brent, I'll let you wrap it up.
Sure. Well, thank you, Traffic Hacker community, for tuning into us. Thank you for giving us your time. And we're excited about being able to go into new topics here in the next episode. But with that being said, we'll see y'all here very soon. Take care.